Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
Today we are talking that explosive episode of Real Housewives of Potomac, Southern Charm, and then we have two reunions to talk about.
That's right, and then we're going to wrap things up with Rose and Thorn, plus interviews with Ramona Singer from Real Housewives of New York City and Joao Franco from Below Deck Med.
I love saying that name. Joao.
Joao. Joao. We should say, like, whenever you're just like, something's impressive. Joao. I love that new haircut.
For a long time, I thought it was J-Wow.
I mean.
It's close.
It's very close.
So before we get into it, I did want to reply to a fan of ours who tweeted about my theory that Megan does not appreciate, but I do. And it is that the film Mrs. Doubtfire and the hit television series Charmed, the original one on the WB, that they exist in the same universe. I don't know if you've even heard this one, Sarah.
Sarah's like, I could care less.
Do not project onto her, Megan, okay? So the theory basically goes that I went back and rewatched Charmed from the beginning not too long ago. I kind of gave up on it, but I did go back and watch the pilot episode. And at the end, Prue goes out to get the newspaper, and on her way back in, she's carrying it in her arm, and you can see one of the headlines, and it says Doubtfire. And I was like, it's both San Francisco. Like, that's how, you know, he gets the name in the movie, because he just, like, picks up the paper or whatever. And I went to find out just recently, actually, when I brought this up last week, and Megan was like, I still don't care about this. But I Googled it, and IMDb says that that was the same prop that they used in both the movie and the TV show. So I don't know if that necessarily proves my theory or disproves it, but I'm choosing to believe it.
To which I say I could not care less.
Fine. Let's talk about the Real Housewives New York City reunion part one. Ramona got veneers.
Well, I mean, did she?
Which we actually got to see in person as well, because she is on today's episode and came in last week for an interview.
Ramona, something's different about you. What?
You have to tell everybody? All right. What? I had really bad cavities in the front that I need veneers, so Dr. Appa did my whole mouth.
I like them. I agree with Andy. Like, I was nervous, but I feel like she got, like, the subtle version.
Yeah, I think there have been some other housewives who will remain nameless on this episode who have gotten them, and it's a little bit like, oh, mm-hmm, I can see those. But I think Ramona's were a little more subtle. But you brought up the really good point that did she have to tell us it was because she had so many cavities?
Yeah, like, there's just some things you should keep to yourself. And one of them being, I had such bad cavities, they just removed, like, my teeth. No, don't need to know that.
It's just, like, an added detail we didn't necessarily need. Like, people get veneers for all sorts of reasons, mostly, like, cosmetic. Like, we don't need to know the nitty-gritty.
For sure. This episode really focused on Luann.
Right, absolutely. What I really loved, and you guys may remember this from Dorinda's interview a couple weeks ago, is that when we asked her about the dress that she wore, she got a Naeem Khan dress on purpose because no one else can really get access to those dresses, and she didn't obviously want to wear Giovanni, but she definitely wore the dress to throw a little bit of shade at Luann, and it came up within the first, like, 2 minutes of the reunion. Like, she pointed out, like, I'm wearing Naeem Khan. Like, most people don't get to wear him because he styles celebrities, but it's not Giovanni. It's not your $400 prom dresses or
pageant
whatever
she's dress.
Like, yeah, pageant dresses. I was like, ooh, coming in hot.
Am I to assume you're wearing
no,
Giovanni?
No, don't say it. No, I'm wearing Naeem Khan. I think you wanted to go to a showroom like 2 or 3 years ago.
I know you asked him to borrow dresses or something. He doesn't really loan out dresses a lot. I mean, unless you're a huge movie star.
Right, exactly.
Or, you know, no, he makes dresses for Michelle Obama.
Right. Well, you're not going to this showroom this time. You can keep your $400 dresses.
Thank you.
I mean, which is such a dick move, I have to say, because you were just extolling, like, the virtues of Giovanni dresses a season or so ago. So, like, you know, it's just, leave Giovanni out. Like, this poor guy, he just wanted to make pretty dresses, and now it's, like, a whole thing.
It's become such a big thing, and I feel like they're not letting it go either. It keeps coming up throughout this whole season. It came up at the reunion. Like, the heckling and like the whole thing about Luann keeping it in her show. And now there's a single and it's sort of like, let's just let Luann have this, you know? Like, I don't know why Dorinda's still kind of holding on to it.
Right.
But again, this whole thing, like you said, was very much focused on Luann and her sort of selfish, egotistical kind of behavior this whole season.
Mm.
I wrote down in my notes that I think we deserve a Lifetime movie version of Luann's intervention.
Eric, I love this idea.
Like, specifically the moment when Bethany flipped out in Miami and was like, you were running through a field in a negligee and I had to call them. And I was just like, that is such an amazing visual.
Like, we need to see the night that the intervention took place.
Absolutely. Like, I feel like it just should be that.
I can that see it in my head, too. Right? The frantic phone calls. I need... How much money did you ask for? It was like...
$6 million?
Yeah, I need $6 million. You know, like, I could just... I can see it.
Right.
Who would play Luann?
Oh, my gosh. I think Luann would have a lot of ideas if we asked her, which we can because she is coming in for an interview this week. But I feel like...
Who has that deep, sultry voice?
My first thought was Sofia Vergara, which doesn't really work, but it's only because I have the visual of Luann wearing that wig last year in Colombia. Was it Colombia?
This is terrible. And it's just for the voice, okay?
Uh-oh.
But Kathleen Turner?
Oh, interesting. I don't hate it.
Right?
I don't hate it, because we also have to think of, like, who would be in a Lifetime movie at this point in their career? Mm. Like, you know, that kind of, I feel like, might add
right.
up.
Right. We're not getting Jennifer Lawrence, you know?
Right.
We're getting someone who's...
Though that being said, I think Jennifer Lawrence would be thrilled at the opportunity to play Countess Luann during her intervention.
That's true.
Who would play Bethany?
Ugh. Someone who can take on that, like, frantic New York woman
that real, like,
energy.
Feisty, kind of terrifying energy.
Yeah.
Liza Minnelli.
Is that?
Luann, you gotta go. Okay, so anyway, mostly focused on Luann throughout the whole kind of part one of the reunion. I think we all knew it was going to kind of play out that way just because of how the story was this season. But what I also thought was kind of interesting is... the whole dynamic with Tinsley and Scott versus, like, Bethany and Paul. And that kind of comes up briefly in part one. And I know that that's been something that, you know, Tinsley has been talking about how Scott wasn't really on the show and everyone kind of put a different pressure on her than they really have on Bethany. But I think it's a little bit different because Bethany was obviously going through the grieving process with Dennis this season. And Paul kind of came in a little bit later into the situation, whereas Scott... was sort of, I don't want to say an older storyline that continued in, but it kind of was.
I thought this was an opportunity for Bethany to be like, you know what? It was hypocritical of me, and we shouldn't have pressured you to talk about Scott. But right. instead, Bethany was like, no, I thought about this, and here's the loophole. Like,
yeah.
Here's why they're not the same. And it's like, but they are the same.
Right.
I don't know. Give Tinsley a break.
I know. And actually, we did sit down with Tinsley last week, and that interview will be coming up soon. So you guys will hear a little bit more about sort of Tinsley and Bethany's relationship and, like, especially what comes up in part two. So stay tuned for that, because there's some interesting, interesting things happening there.
The one thing that's kind of struck me about this group is the Dorinda and Luann fighting, but then making up at the end of this part of the reunion is so, I don't know, representative of, like, all of their relationships. Because I feel like with other franchises, you go the whole reunion and there's no sort of closure.
Mm-hmm.
And with this one, you get it pretty immediately.
Yeah.
Like, Dorinda being so angry with Luann and Luann being so, like, whatever, Dorinda. And then by the end of part one, they're fine.
I'm not excusing myself. I'm just saying I felt really... cold about that, so I'm gonna give you a hug.
It was nice.
Can you really put it behind us?
I do. I hate the way you're looking at me. You're, like, so angry.
I'm not. I'm confused.
Okay. I'm not angry. I'm confused because I don't. The person I've known for 13 years, we used to sit and laugh our asses off.
No, I know.
We were so close.
I miss that. I do. I miss that so much.
Right. Well, they brought up a good point. I think it was Andy who even said the way it all played out with, like, last year's reunion kind of Luann wasn't there, so there kind of was a missed opportunity for Dorinda and Luann to kind of work through their issues last year, so it's kind of why it lingered on. And then just with the timing of everything, I think with Luann going to rehab the second time and just the way this season played out, there really wasn't an opportunity for them to really hash it out and just like be emotional and express themselves to each other and just sort of work through it. So it was nice to kind of see that. That's what reunions are for. It's to reunite and sort of work through the issues, which we have a whole thing to talk about with Beverly Hills in that case, but
yes.
Woo. So I got to sit down with Ramona Singer and we talked about her newfound friendship with Kelly Dodd, if she believes she's actually social climbing, and what really went down during that whole seat mix-up at the Angel Ball. Plus, we played a little bit of our favorite game, Perfect Partner, with her. So here's that interview. Guys, we are here with Ramona Singer from Real Housewives of New York City. Hi, Ramona.
Hey there. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm a little numb from my weekend. I've been going to so many parties of all my friends. And then on top of that, I spent my first night after I moved in a week ago to my new apartment.
In your new apartment. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about your weekend. We saw that you were with Kelly Dodd.
Yeah. I invited her out. I had no clue she just broke up with her boyfriend until I saw it in the media. I mean, the things you learn from the media, some are true and some aren't. So I had some really fantastic different parties to go to. One party we went to was in Montauk, a beautiful oceanfront home. And it was a disco Studio 54 theme. And they had a Cher lookalike. And some people even said, well, is that Cher? Is that Cher? That's how good she looked.
Wow.
For 100 people. Fabulous costumes, fabulous music, food, and people. And then from there, we went to another 4-acre estate on Ocean Road, south of the highway. And they actually had their own fireworks going off. And they had about 600 people.
That's
and
amazing.
That was crazy fun. And then earlier in the day, we went to a beautiful luncheon at my girlfriend's, she calls it the Rose Garden. And she made us this intimate lunch with her private chef. And we ate all these great dishes of food. And then from there, my friend just completed his home. It took him 2.5 years to build at Oceanfront in Bridgehampton. And there's about 25 people there, 30 people. And that was so much fun. And that was just my first day.
Wow.
And it just went better and better from there.
Oh, wait, so how did you and Kelly Dodd become friends?
You know, I met Kelly. I was taking Avery to Spain last year. And we did Madrid and Barcelona, and then we did Ibiza. And Kelly happens to be good friends with a couple I know, a married couple who I love and adore, and all of a sudden there's Kelly. And we just hit it off immediately.
She's so much fun.
You know what? She has great energy. She's easy breezy, always has a smile on her face.
Yeah,
she's great.
You spent a lot of time with her.
And she does dishes and takes out the garbage.
Well, there you go.
I like a guest like that. Oh, and she stripped her sheets. I'm like, whoa.
Wow, she knows.
She's a good girl. Good guest.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about this season. A lot of fans have said it's one of the best seasons of their shows, one of their favorites. How did you feel about this season?
It was one of my favorite seasons to film. And I think it's because all of us were more real. What does that mean? Are we not real? Sometimes we get caught up in this bullshit drama, some dark things, some really bad fights. And not to say we didn't fight, not to say we didn't have any altercations, but it was on a more deeper, meaningful level.
Yeah. Well, the season's coming to an end and we're going into reunion. And going in, Andy says that you might be in the hot seat. So going into the reunion, did you feel like you had tension with any of the other ladies?
No, I actually felt no tension. Listen, very often, I'm trying to get better. I very often don't come across the right way with my verbiage and the things I say and I do. And so, of course, the girls are going to call me on that because every year they go, can you stop? And I go, I promise. And now I realize I can't promise. I'm doing the best I can. I am who I am. And my close friends, they really know who I am and get me. I mean, I think I'm the only housewife in the franchise, or at least on my show, that I can call up 40 women today and they'll show up tomorrow night for whatever I need. You know, and that says something about my character, my love of people.
Absolutely. And at the reunion, too, you wore a deeper Ramona blue. And
absolutely.
Andy asked you, are you deeper? And you said, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So but I was in the hot seat because, you know, there were some things that came across of me not telling the truth. And it's not that I wasn't telling the truth because I really don't lie. It's just that my mind wasn't working well. So for instance, with the beautiful benefit that Denise Rich did for the Angel Ball, I got the tables confused and I really thought I was correct. So I said, my mind is ageless. I'm sorry. No, I said, my look is ageless,
right.
But my mind is not aging. It's getting like too much stuff is in here.
Right.
And I seriously thought I was at the right table and I actually had an extra seat. So I don't know why Dorinda got so upset because I said, Dorinda, there's a seat for you right here. Come sit here. Instead, she was on her high horse and said, no, no, I'm not going to sit there. You just sit where you are, and I'll just sit where I am. And okay, all right. Well, you know, you better apologize. And she made a big stink out of it.
Right. Well, and some of the ladies, I think, have accused you of social climbing. So what
Honey,
do you have to
I'm
say
already,
to that?
I've been there for years, okay? Look at the homes I go to and the people I'm invited to. I'm not climbing. These are my friends that I was at the table with for 20 years.
Right. You're not climbing. You're at the top already.
I'm there. I don't have to climb anymore. I'm there.
Well, one of the biggest things this season, too, has been Luann's cabaret, sort of a bit of her ego. So have you listened to her new single, Feelin' Giovanni?
You know, I don't think I've had the time because I sold my apartment. I had to pack up all my stuff. You know how hard it is to go from a 2,500 apartment when I have so much clothes and stuff and go to 1,600 square feet? Now, I know it's still a big apartment, but it's overwhelming. I've been really self-absorbed, like sort of like Luann can be.
Oh, so. Right. Oh, and it's also 22 years of stuff you had to pack up. So there's a lot of coordination there.
Exactly.
I want to talk about the Miami trip. So at while you guys were down there, you invited Mario to a party when you also had a date, Kevin, there. So are you still in touch with Kevin at all?
No, Kevin and I are just friends. Okay. I mean, yeah, we're just friends. He's a really nice guy. He's actually dating a girlfriend of mine, and he's a wonderful person inside and out.
What was it like seeing Mario there?
You know, I have to say I'm very blessed because I made a very conscious effort to get friendly with Mario for Avery's sake. And it's to the point now where, you know, we'll go to dinner, the three of us. We're able to have a phone conversation. We're friendly. And I advise every divorced parents, you know, you got to bury the hatchet for the sake of the children.
Ladies say that, you know, they see you still kind of flirting with him. Can you help that? Or is it just, does it come out naturally?
I'm flirty by nature.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just very friendly, very outgoing. That's why I'm invited to so many fabulous places and parties and events and why I have so many friends.
Right. Well, let's talk a little bit about your dating life. Are you seeing anyone right now?
No, I mean, dating is really, it's not easy. I mean, I meet men left and right, but there's just, you know, I think it's like once you've had your child and you have been married and now and you're financially independent. I mean, I'm not going to just be with a man to be with a man. And your priorities change. So, you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s and even 40s, you're looking for a mate to have a family with. And then your focus is your family, not just your mate. Now my focus is just on a mate, a partner, and it's more difficult because I'm not going to settle.
Yeah, well, that's interesting you say that because Dorinda has said that a lot about her relationship with John. She's like, it's a different kind of love. It's a different kind of relationship we're looking for.
But I want real love. I mean, I want that butterfly love. I mean,
So you're still looking for that?
Yeah, I'm not actively looking for it. If it comes, it comes. And you know what? And I believe it will. I truly believe now that I sold that apartment and I moved out that this is the first time I truly feel divorced.
Yeah.
You know, I think holding on to that apartment was like a security blanket or like sucking my thumb. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. I wanted to ask, too, you guys went upstate and you visited the area that you grew up in. And did you expect that experience to be as emotional for you as it was?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, that's one of the reasons why people don't believe it. The Berkshires, I flipped out because it reminded me when I grew up. And it was a very bad situation where, I also felt down deep that my father moved us to the country. So if my mother screamed, the neighbors couldn't hear and there's no one for her to run to. I truly believe that now in my heart and soul. So that's why just the whole woods, that kind of look freaks me out. But I was surprised and I was drawn to the terrapin. And it was just very interesting how Bethany realized that terrapin means turtle. And she goes, look at turtle time, your mom's happy. And, you know, and that made me feel good. I was very close to my mother. And my mother made me the person I am. She made me, you know, become a maven at whatever I like. She made me be very outgoing, a great cook, a great entertainer, to believe in myself and know that I can do anything I want to do and know that, you know, I don't have to depend upon a man financially. And these are all the things I want to instill in my daughter and I have, and I'm very proud of Avery.
Did you feel like that experience brought you closer to Bethany? Because you guys
really
connected.
Absolutely. Because, you know, it's very difficult to talk about it. So when I did talk about it, people thought, oh, you're using it as an excuse. You're using an excuse because I don't really delve deep sometimes. It's all buried. And coming out there, it just came pouring out. And it made me realize more than ever how much Bethany and I have in common. And that's probably one of the reasons why we butt heads, because we repel. We're so much alike. It's like, you know what they say, opposites attract. Mm-hmm. And we're not.
Right.
We're not opposite. We're the same. So we repel.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, tell us a little bit more about your new place because you're super excited to be in there.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I hired this girl, Ashley, from Done Deals. And without her, I would have had definitely a breakdown. I wouldn't have been here. She literally packed up everything in a very organized way. She helped me discard things. She basically unpacked everything. I mean, to the point of my toothpaste and toothbrush. She's rearranging like my sunglasses, and she came in, Container Store came in, and she advised them how to redo the closets and fix the closets. So this is, I guess, a new service, these kind of people. And you know what? They're so necessary for people on the go. And when you get older, you just don't have the energy. And I have a lot of energy, but right. I would not have the energy to do all that stuff. Absolutely right. Not.
Well, you need patience for that, too. And my God.
I don't have that much patience. I'm trying.
Well, we play a game here on the podcast and in the office, and it's called Dream Man Butt. So it's a hypothetical situation that you meet your dream man, you get those butterflies, but there's one stipulation. So I want to play that with you. So, dream man, but he doesn't drink wine.
So, do I answer? That's okay.
That's okay.
As long as he drinks vodka or rosé or, you know, scotch or something. Yeah, okay. I can't be with someone who doesn't drink at all.
Okay, that's fair. Dream man, but he prefers to stay in on the weekends.
Some weekends I don't mind staying in, but I get invited to so many fabulous parties and through my fabulous friends that I like. I'm social. So I like being, I always say my dream guy is someone who's just as happy being in t-shirt, bare feet and jeans with a glass of vodka or wine in his hand cooking up a meal with me, or going to a black tie. Yeah. So I like both.
Well, that's funny because our next question was perfect man, but he wears Crocs to the bars.
No, I would change him. I would just do it. Honey, you look so much better in a pair of like Gucci loafers, or you look so much better in a pair of like great black leather sneakers.
What about dream man, but he doesn't like working out?
No, that would never fly for me because I mean, my body now, people are telling me that it's better than it was a year ago. Like, what are you doing? And I haven't really lost that much weight. I've just been doing exhale and private trainers and tennis. And no, I mean, I'm very athletic and I believe in a tone, firm, hard body.
Oh, I like that. Okay, last one. Dream man, but he prefers the Berkshires over the Hamptons.
We'd have to compromise and do both.
Okay, I think that's fair. All right, well, thank you so much, Ramona. Thanks for coming in.
Well, so I want to stay on this reunion train and talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
I loved this reunion.
Did you?
Okay, so I was there.
Right.
And I was interested to see like how they were going to separate all of the drama in part one. I love how they addressed the Lisa Vanderpump stuff.
Just right into it from the beginning.
Yes, and really like juxtaposing Lisa's absence with Adrian Malouf's absence in season 3. Like, I thought that was great because it highlighted LVP's kind of hypocrisy.
Right.
I think she changed the boundaries, though. I think if you sign up to do a reality show, you have to be prepared to open up your life. What Brandy did wasn't to expose what many of us knew. It was to expose the fact that she consistently lied. That was the point.
Is it cowardly not coming today?
I think it's a mistake as well, because I think she's leaked stories to the press saying that she wanted to quit, and I don't believe that. I believe she wanted to stay, and I think she should have come, cleared up the mess, and moved on.
You can't call someone out for, like, not being brave enough to show up, and then you do it.
I actually... when you were there for the reunion in real time, I mean, when you went down there, I was like, you need to text me every minute that you learn something. Like, let me know what's going on. And I, similar to Teddy, very much did expect that Lisa would show up.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've only seen part one. Who's to say what might come in the rest of the parts of this reunion? But it's kind of looking like that's not going to be the case. But Lisa said she wasn't going to do it. But I definitely had a feeling she was going to pull a stunt.
I have to say, like... whether or not she did show up, that feeling was in the air the whole time of like, what's going to happen at any moment?
Yeah.
And I mean, in some ways, LVP won because like, that's probably what she wanted.
Right. I mean, we did have at least Camille show up, which makes sense given her impact on the rest of this season with LVP's absence.
Yeah.
So maybe we didn't have LVP, but we had Camille.
It's true. So what did you think of Camille?
Well, I think she is coming in hot once again. I got very confused about what was going on between her and Denise towards the end.
Denise was confused.
Right. And I think even Camille was confused. And it seemed like we were talking in circles a little bit and I wasn't really keeping up with what was happening. But I think Camille probably went into this reunion knowing that without Lisa Vanderpump there, someone was going to be the one to start the fires.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of the women were ready to address some of Camille's issues this season.
Well, I think Camille, and by the way, I think you're going to see a lot of this. I think Camille isn't really getting what's happening. I think there's a lot of miscommunication in her mind. Like, she thinks things are happening or being said that just aren't.
Right.
So, like, she thought that Denise was taking a dig at her about Kelsey Grammer.
And the divorce and everything.
She wasn't. Right. She was asked, did you ask for money from Charlie Sheen? And she's like, no, I didn't.
Yeah. And Camille sort of took that personally.
Yes.
For no reason.
Yes.
Charlie Sheen came up when she was with him.
Charlie was almost bankrupt before we got married.
Got it. Okay, well, I don't know much about... I'm sorry I didn't follow you that much. All I know, I can only speak about myself.
You don't have to.
I just don't. It's okay, whatever.
But yeah, that is really interesting. What I think is kind of fascinating, too, that I have thought about earlier this season, but this reunion in particular with Denise, is that her talking about everything she went through with Charlie and the divorce, like, when you really step back and look at it, she's been through a lot more in the media than I think a lot of these other women. And it says a lot about her character that she can still be as kind of down to earth and humble, because she, like she said, most of the drama that happened between her and Charlie was after their marriage, like was through that whole, what was it, like 13 years after mm-hmm. the divorce. And it's still sort of present in her life. No matter what Charlie does, and as quiet as he stays, she's always going to have that association. And obviously they have children together, so they're always going to have a connection. But it is just really interesting to think Puppygate, Radar Online, all the things that have happened this season have been so intense for these women, because I think they haven't been used to having such a spotlight on them. But Denise has sort of been through this in her life already. But she came out the other side, I think, a stronger person.
Yeah. I just worry about her in season two.
I mean, looking at some of the other ladies who are up there on their, you know, third or fourth season, I think opinions have changed since their very first one. So that is interesting. What is your perspective on Nicolette Sheridan?
And should she come on the show?
Potentially joining the cast.
Sure. Why not? I'm here for it.
Well, I said that Nicolette went off with Michael Bolton after this Hollywood Bowl concert. So Harry was in Muskoka, and Harry woke up in the middle of the night, and he felt really strange, and he was like, I gotta go home. Got back to the house, and there was a love note in the trash can. She's gonna tweet about this like crazy.
Okay.
You know she is. Honey, it's coming. Bring it on. Oh. And it was in the trash can, and she had gone and slept with Michael Bolton that night. She was at his hotel.
Well, what's interesting is, obviously, as of today, the reunion has not aired. But what Rinna says is that, I can't wait for this because there's going to be some action on Twitter. So I am just waiting until...
Right, you're following Nicole.
Oh, yeah. Like, until Tuesday night when the accusation about Michael Bolton and everything comes up again. I cannot wait to see what comes out of that. In real time.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, because you were kind of giving me shit that I loved Dorit's look the most.
Yeah.
What did you think when you saw it in action?
I still didn't, like, totally love it.
So you didn't get it, is what you're saying.
I don't think I was getting it. I think I was trying really hard. I also just, like, Rinna's dress and Kyle Richards' dress and, like...
So similar, but not similar enough. It was just the...
Right. Right. And then just, like, the whole set, like, when I was looking at it from, like, a wide shot, I was just sort of like, there was a lot going on. Like, I don't know where my eye is supposed to be going right now, because it was just, like, pops of color.
I will say, I think we need to refine the palette options.
Yeah,
in this instance.
I think the set itself should have been a little bit darker, because so many of the dresses were, like, popping at me that, like... It was a little bit a lot.
And, you know, it's so funny because I always think about how in Mad Men, you know, Mad Men, the show.
Oh, yeah.
There's this part where Don's second wife, Megan, is scrubbing their white carpets. And he's like, she's like, the carpet's ruined. And he's like, you should never get white carpet. And she's like, it looks so good in the photos. He's like, I've worked on those shoots. They have 10 backup ones on hand because they don't stay clean.
Right.
So the reunion couches are white and people are literally scrubbing the self-tanner off of them and the bronzer off of them.
Right.
In every single break the ladies take.
That's literally someone's job.
Yeah.
Is to scrub the self-tanner.
Yeah. Someone would be so lucky.
I wanted to ask you what you thought about Erica and then all of the ladies co-signing Kyle as the new queen.
I mean, I think it's appropriate, don't you?
My thoughts on it are that, like, I think it's up to the fans to decide who the new queen is. And I understand what they were saying being, like, by default because of your seniority and all of that. Like, yes, it makes sense that it's Kyle, but I was a little... Ooh, our gay pride flag went flying.
A sign?
I don't know.
It is a sign that you should not be talking shit about Kyle being the queen.
Oh, my God. That's so... The gays have spoken. I'm sorry, Kyle. You are the queen of Beverly Hills. I mean, it's not that I disagree with it. I truly don't. But I'm just sort of like,
you don't
think
it's up to Erica to decide.
Yeah. I mean, it's sort of like, why don't we all take a poll, you know, and see. And it is true. By default, it seems to make sense that it would be Kyle. But I'm also a little bit like, what about Rinna? I mean, you know, just because of the whole Kyle LVP thing being kind of a big center part of this storyline this season, I feel like it could still be Rinna in so many ways.
Right.
Or Kim Richards. To me, always Kim Richards.
So it's sort of like a ghost of her in the photo holding the diamond because she's not actually on the show.
Yeah, she's like the reigning ghost queen of Beverly Hills. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was just like a little bit of a dig at Lisa too. But it's so interesting because everyone does always want to pin who the queen is in every single franchise. And it sort of becomes understood. And, you know, it's like Lisa said, the crown is heavy, darling. Like it's, if that's going to be Kyle now, the queen of Beverly Hills, she has some, a lot to live up to.
Mm.
What did you think about Teddy once again taking accountability for her part in the whole Lucy Apple Juicy, specifically what happened at Vanderpump Dogs?
I'm glad you say Lucy Apple Juicy because so do I. It sounds better. It rolls off the tongue, but that's not the dog's
name.
It's
just Lucy Apple Juice or what
Lucy,
is it?
Lucy Apple Juice.
No.
Right. It doesn't sound as good.
It has to be Apple Juicy.
It's funnier.
Yeah. Well, now the dog's name is like
Mona.
Right. But anyway, she will always be known to us as Apple Juicy, Lucy, whatever. But what did you think? I mean, I had a lot of mixed feelings.
I mean, I think she's taking responsibility. She knows what she did was a dick move. What else can you do?
I don't think any of us really knew about that added layer of why she was angry with Dorit. About how it stemmed all the way back from last year's reunion where they were all going to go out to drinks after. And Dorit was like, I don't want to go if Teddy is going to be there. That I thought was an interesting development. And I'm surprised that Teddy maybe didn't bring it up a little bit sooner.
Mm.
Like, I'm like, did she just kind of decide to put it all together as part of her excuse as to why she was mad at Dorit? Or did she just straight up not like Dorit?
No, I mean, to me, it makes sense what she said about what happened last year. I was there. Like, it was not good. It was, like we were talking about Real Housewives of New York. There's this instant resolution. There was no resolution last season.
Yeah.
And then if you have Teddy who is hearing Dorit be like, no, I will not go out to dinner with this person, you're going to have something against them. But I do think it's ridiculous that Teddy was never on the phone with Vanderpump.
Yeah, that I think was
a little bit ridiculous. But I believe her. I just think it's weird.
Right. And I think maybe she decided to do that only because, like she said, she got caught up. And I think it happens in terms of like where she is as, you know, this is what, her third season as a housewife?
No, second.
And so it's just a little bit like, what are you doing? As if the two reunions were not enough. Let's talk about that episode of Potomac.
Oh.
First of all, it was like a supersized episode. I was like, yes, keep it going. I don't want it to stop.
Hoedown, showdown.
Hoedown, showdown. And those hoes were down. Isn't that what Giselle kept saying?
Went from a hoedown to these hoes is going down.
Oh, my God. So Where do we even begin?
As I was saying last episode, I really appreciated Chris and the way he was, like, handling Candace and how he was really trying, at least, to calm her down. This episode, I felt like he did all the things a husband shouldn't do when a wife is upset about something.
Interesting.
Because she goes to the restaurant to be like, therapy with my mom was terrible. This is what happened. This is what happened. And by the way, as fans, we saw the therapy session and know that, whew, the mom was not good during that.
It did not go well.
Yes. He takes it as an opportunity to be like, yeah, well, I've told you this kind of thing before. You do it with me, too. Oh, Chris, that's a separate issue that you address at a separate time. First of all, she's not looking for your solutions. She's looking for your support. So just be quiet and, like, understanding.
I actually appreciate you explaining it like that because I wrote down in my notes, Chris is really trying to break through to Candace. And as much as, yeah, I think he was trying to break through to her, he wasn't doing it in the proper way. And I think what Candace keeps getting so frustrated about with not only Chris, but with all of the girls in the group too, is that they keep bringing her mom into it. And Candace is trying to separate her situation with her mom from her relationship with Chris and then her relationship with the women. But maybe psychologically, there are so many layers there that her relationship with her mom is kind of the fundamental issue in her life that she cannot work through, and then it is, therefore, affecting her other relationships. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, totally.
It's just, like, it was really rough, too, because he kept, like, he was like, I'm not letting you leave. Like, I don't want to let you leave. And she was like, let me go. Like, I don't want to have this conversation anymore. And at a certain point, you do have to kind of let her go, but I think he was trying to make the point of you can't keep walking away from this. Like, we have to confront it. We have to face it head on. But I think Candace has tried that in many ways, including going to therapy with her mom, and it was kind of a bust. Mm. So I think she's feeling like a little bit like, I don't know what to do now. I don't know how to fix it. And Chris is like, I'm trying to help, but is he? Mm. What did you think of the Wendy Williams cameo?
I mean, that's an interesting way to introduce the allegation on the show.
Right.
I keep equating it to, like, our relationship a little bit. Like, you know, you and I work on the podcast together. Mm-hmm. It would be crazy if I opened up my phone one day and something about, sorry, Danny. Danny was, like, all over the news.
Right.
Like, how do you handle that?
I know. I mean, it would be really rough.
And I just felt like the way they were talking about it wasn't the correct thing to say. Like, someone, I think it was Giselle, said he can't catch a break. You know what I mean?
That's a weird way to put it. I mean, I just watching this episode felt really bad for Ashley because I think you could definitely see a shift in her energy when she was shopping with Katie and we knew that, like, the news had broken and then she has that call with Giselle. Mm-hmm. And for Ashley to already be aware of it, it kind of makes, to the other women's point, the whole situation about the dick sucking gate, you know, like, it makes that so much more impactful for Ashley. And now it kind of all adds up more than it did before.
The editing, when they're talking about the allegations and they show Michael kissing Ashley at the baby shower, but he's looking directly into the camera at the,
yeah,
like, I'm sure we're supposed to believe at the cameraman.
Like, that was the guy holding that camera. I know. It's intense, too, because all of the women seem to know exactly who it was. Because I don't remember, honestly, when the allegations came out, if there was a name attached to it. Like, I don't remember a lot of the details at the time. But it seemed that everyone knew, because obviously these women know the crew members. They're working with them all the time. They're in their homes. Like, they know these guys. And so they all kind of knew exactly who it must have been, which I thought was interesting.
Well, I mean, you know, they are very close to the crew because these people are in their homes. And yeah.
I think Monique actually summed it up really perfectly, just kind of tying in the whole issue with, like, dick sucking gate and now these new allegations. Monique was basically like, none of this should have happened the way that it played out. Like, none of this should have happened in this order. And I really loved too when Monique invited Candace over, and in full, like, kind of princess fashion. Like, Candace is, like, sitting down, like, eating the food that, like, Monique has made her. And Monique, like, 7 months pregnant, is, like, sitting down trying to assemble a bassinet. And Candace is, like, not providing any help whatsoever. I was just kind of like, okay, come on. This is, like, hard to watch. Like, help Monique do this. But Monique, like, really laid Candace out, being like, you kind of overreacted at that dinner party. Like,
yeah,
you're coming across to women who are much older than you as someone who is not really mature, and you should have been able to keep it together a little bit more if you were really trying to convey a point, not swinging a butter knife and whatever. And then obviously it kind of comes up at the hoedown. The two of them get really into it.
Yeah. See, I will say, I do think Candace is someone who wants to just hear, yes, you're right, all the time, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to say that her behavior's right. I just thought her husband shouldn't be the one to, like, pile on. Like, basically everyone's telling her you're wrong right now.
Yeah, that's true. You need to have someone in your corner, and it has to be your partner.
Yeah.
Of anybody. Well, at the hoedown, they really, there's a lot that goes down at the hoedown. These hoes are down. What I really loved, my favorite moment from the whole thing, was towards the end when Katie was just kind of sitting there and she goes, thank you guys for coming. Like, she didn't know what to do. She was so overwhelmed. So at the hoedown, they finally have some fun and games. They sit down. They start to work through what's actually amiss in the group. So Candace brings up a little bit of, like, I want to apologize. I'm sorry for the way I behaved. But it doesn't really go according to plan.
Right.
I feel like everything devolves really kind of quickly. And obviously there is a lot of tension between the women now. Ashley has to call out, like she says, the elephant in the room about Michael and the allegations. So it just kind of quickly spirals in two very different ways. One between Monique and Candace, one between then Karen and Ashley.
Why do you think Karen has such an allegiance to Candace right now?
I don't know. I feel like maybe it has something to do with the fact that Karen has lost both of her parents in a short amount of time. And I think she sees Candace having such a strained relationship with her mom. She doesn't want them to get any worse than they are. Because I think Karen's probably thinking, you know, she would like to see them have a better relationship because time is limited. You know, I think Karen, just as an older woman, as someone who has lost her parents, I think she just has sort of the bigger picture perspective and is a little bit like, let's help you work through this, Candace. Like, I think it was the advice that she gave her at the dinner party that was like, you need to step into who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's the perfect advice for Candace right now because she is really struggling. And I think there's one really beautiful shot of her, too, that they took when she's out in the field. And it's sort of her taking that moment to really think about what's unfolded at this hoedown. And I feel like Giselle said at the beginning of the season, we're really going to root for Candace by the end of the season. I feel like we're starting to see that shift a little bit. So I do appreciate Karen kind of being there for her.
So I read this news story recently.
Uh-huh.
This woman, in an act of road rage, got out of her car, went to this other woman's car and stabbed her to death.
Ooh.
15 minutes later, went to the police and turned herself in. Which to me shows, wow, like you were, I mean, road rage is a thing. And
right.
Like you were so over, like the fact that you would go and turn yourself in 15 minutes later and be like, what did I just do? And I feel like we saw that with Monique a little bit.
Interesting. Yes. No, I see the analogy. Not that we think Monique is going to kill someone.
At all. I just mean that, like, the anger she felt towards Candace in the moment where she's like, I'm pregnant and I will fight you.
Right.
And then was able to, like, 2 minutes later be like, look, I'm sorry. I lost my cool. Right. I should apologize.
Rage and regret. I mean, we definitely, obviously, Monique, her emotions are heightened. She's pregnant. Like, she's got all sorts of things going on chemically inside, whatever. And she does immediately kind of switch and is like, I'm so sorry. Like, I shouldn't have said that. And she cries. You know, it's sort of like she flips pretty quickly. But I totally understand what you're saying. And I appreciated that of Monique, too, because there's no need to get that worked up when you're pregnant.
Oh, my gosh.
You have other things to worry about.
But also, like, what if Candace had taken her up on that?
I know.
Yeah, walk away. Don't start. I will still drag you pregnant and all.
I would have at least maybe liked to see her throw the water bottle.
Please get off of me. I'm about to throw this bottle at her head. She went over.
You're going to stop.
She needs to grow the Stop. Drag me, Monique.
That's something I personally have always wanted to do to someone I've been mad at. Yeah. Well, maybe not even water. It can be like an alcoholic beverage. Like, it could be anything. Correct. But just like, I feel like it's so much more insulting to like throw a drink on someone than to even actually like insult them with words.
Well, Tom Schwartz is an expert at throwing drinks on women.
Well, and my new haircut is channeling him, so I mean, maybe my time is coming. Who can I get pissed at soon and throw water on?
So help me God, if it's me, I will grab the nearest butter knife.
I'm waving the flag. You guys can't see it, but the flag that fell earlier, I'm waving it like the butter knife. It's going to be really intense to watch the rest of this Michael saga unfold over this season. Southern Charm
is a thing.
I feel like I'm stuck on this trip with them, and like I didn't want to go, but like everyone convinced me, and so now here I am, and I'm cold, and the altitude is really like affecting me, and I'm just really stressed out. Like, don't you feel like you're stuck on the bus with them?
I feel bad for Craig. Is that wrong?
I don't know if it's wrong, but it's just a little bit like I've lost my patience with him losing his patience.
I guess the reason is that I feel like there must be stuff happening that we're not seeing or that we didn't see. For him to lose his patience that quickly with Whitney and Cameron.
Right.
Me after our RV trip, I don't want to be on the road for 7 hours.
Just shut up and go home then.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Go get on a plane. I'll pay for it and go back to Charleston.
Which, because I will say, we've seen last season, they took like different transportation than the rest of the group. Like, they're just a little bit, what's the word? Like, high maintenance.
Yeah.
And for them to like be complaining when people are already tired and just ready to get to the hotel, like, I can see. But then it's like he turns into the whiner.
Yeah. Well, to Cameron's point, she's sort of like, when you have a kid and they throw a tantrum, you got to let them do it. You got to pat them on the head and then you got to like move them along. And she was able to do that with Craig. But it's another, I feel like, example of these men being big man babies.
Mm.
And everyone wants to get their way at all times. And I think none of the women really behave like that on the show. So it's sort of like, I can understand why Chelsea got so annoyed with Craig and like threw all of that shade at him in terms of like, where's your vagina, Craig? You know, like, I was just like, oh shit. But I don't blame her for getting so upset, because I was just sort of like, why are we starting off the trip with this energy?
They do you know what you need to do? That's you need to said. Check your goddamn pants for a vagina, because no. You're being a pussy right now.
Oh,
shut
really?
The f*** up and don't talk to people like that.
Whatever, Chelsea.
That's not the way to start it. Especially because you're there for Cameron's birthday. Let us not forget.
That's true. I just think everyone should just calm down.
Yes.
Stop complaining.
Well, at least they made their way to the dispensary, which hopefully helps some of them calm down.
Totally.
By the end of it. I really appreciated them going there, because it was the first time in the episode I was really like, oh, I can relate to what's going on now. It's like there is something. I remember when I lived in LA and going to a dispensary for the first time and being like, this is magical.
I just think it's interesting that people were abstaining for unsaid reasons.
Who in particular?
Like Cameron. Why wouldn't she go in?
Well, she was saying something about how she has anxiety and wants to smoke weed to help her anxiety, but the thought of smoking weed just makes her more anxious.
Mm.
So it's sort of like, you gotta, like, you can talk to the people who work there at the dispensary and they will help you.
Because if it's not your thing, that's totally fine. But,
right.
Like, it's legal there.
Yeah, and they will provide you with the proper strain that should help you deal with whatever ailments you have. Because as recreational as it is, it can be medicinal too.
Well, and I was just, I guess, thinking back on Beverly Hills when they go to Amsterdam and they go to this edibles cafe and all the women were like, oh no, I could never. And it's like, why? Like, I get that you're on camera, but where you are, it's legal.
Yeah. I thought you were going to bring up Mauricio and the edible that he takes.
Well, that's why it was
wedding.
Funny to me, because Kyle was like, she was not partaking in Amsterdam.
Right.
But then it's like, clearly they've changed their opinion on.
Yeah. That. Oh, obviously. I did feel bad for Catherine in the whole thing, because, like she says, that weed was one of the issues that she had with her, like, custody and everything. So as much as it is legal there, she just has that kind of association with weed and is just sort of like, I don't want to be around that.
Weed was the reason that I lost my children for a little while.
But, like, nobody would have put her in a situation that could jeopardize that. So I'm glad that she just kind of sat back and, like, let it happen, but didn't get too critical of, like, everyone else wanting to participate. Mm. She was just like, I'm not gonna, I can't. It's all good. What do you think about Austin and Madison?
Hot mess express.
See, I think yes, for sure. But I also feel like at this point they've let everyone else kind of dictate where they are in their relationship. Like, I don't know how much the two of them have really decided versus letting everyone else decide for them. Does that make sense?
Okay, I get what you're saying, but let's just everyone, go back to my most recent interview with Austin at the beginning of the season, and it's just from an outside perspective, like, what is happening here?
Yeah, but didn't you expect, like, if they're going to be on this trip together, there's going to be some flirtation?
They were totally going to go have sex that night.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think they did?
Yes. I'd be very surprised if they didn't.
There was too much going on there. Like, they definitely are going to bone on this trip.
So in this interview with Joao Franco, I ask if he's heard from Brooke since the season of Below Deck Med has aired, what it was like working with his brother on a yacht, and all about his new relationship. Let's take a listen. Welcome back, Joao.
Thank you.
So nice to see you again.
It's nice to be back.
Yes. Were you nervous to come back for another season?
I was more nervous to come to the podcast. No, I'm going to... Yeah, I got grilled last time about a snake.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't forget. Yeah, I was very nervous, actually. I was nervous in taking on, obviously, a higher role and obviously having to step up to the plate like I boasted the year before that I could do the job. So, yeah. It was very nerve-wracking.
Captain Sandy seems to love you.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a mutual respect between us, which I love. We can definitely differentiate between friendship and work, which is really nice. A lot of captains can't do that, and I say that respectfully, but I've worked for many a captain where I've overstepped the boundaries in friendship, assuming that I could, or vice versa with work. So, yeah. Mm.
What is the worst part about being lead bosun?
The worst part, I mean, it just depends on every certain situation, I'd say. You have so much pressure on you. Obviously, Captain Sandy has the most, but we try and eliminate that by fixing the issues before it gets to that point. So I've got five people to manage, or four people to manage, including myself. And I'm hoping that all she has to do is manage me. So, yeah, I mean, it's a tough role, especially when you have people that don't want to work.
I have to wonder if coming into this season, you sort of felt like, were you open to maybe meeting someone, or did you have blinders on when it came to the other female?
See, the thing is, before last season, I hadn't been with anyone on a boat. I was very strict in that sense. So I was open to it, but I was strict in the fact where I knew the repercussions if I were to get with anyone. Obviously, last season, I wasn't in the right headspace, and there's no doubt about that. But I was just confused. I wasn't sure of what I wanted. You know, I needed, you know, when you're away from home, you're a nomad, you kind of look for companionship to share things with. So you almost go for, you know, the most compatible person on the boat. But this year, obviously, in being in a higher position, I was very adamant that if I were to be with someone, it would have to be serious.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, on that topic, have you talked to Brooke lately? Do you guys keep in contact?
No, we don't talk at all. I think with everything that's come up, I understand that I've made her quite relevant in this season, even though she's not there. I don't regret it. I don't regret what we've been through. You know, I appreciate the help that I received from her. There's no doubt about that. We didn't leave off on the best of terms, but at the same time, you know, I think we both needed each other for that certain amount of time to progress.
Well, I am so curious just because, like, I know nothing about the yachting world except for what I see on the show. What are the chances you guys could end up on a yacht together again?
Chances of ending up on a yacht together are, you know, they're there. There's no doubt about that. My brother sent me a text. He said he was in Dubai and he just saw Brooke walk past in an airport.
What?
And I was like, what? Anyway, so that, I mean, it's such a small industry. Yeah. My brother's obviously on yachts in Dubai.
I didn't realize.
So yeah, he had seen her there. Obviously she didn't recognize him. He walked past. They have never met each other. But then a couple of weeks ago, she had bumped into Travis in Palma. You know, like it's such a small industry. So there is, if she stays in yachting, and I'm not sure what she's doing now, there are chances I'd bump into again.
Do you and your brother ever work together?
Yes, we worked together the first 3.5-4 months. We've worked together our whole lives. So it was quite difficult, actually. We were very lucky to get a job together on a very sophisticated, prestigious boat. We did very well. And we split ways. He stayed on that vessel and I moved on to another one. We would do anything, I guess, to work back together. Yeah.
Yeah. So how is it that you and Hannah are friends now? I don't understand.
I think, you know, we had basically, once everything had gone down with Brooke, I had spoken to a charter guest who very randomly contacted me. And he was asking what I was up to. And I said, well, I'm in Fort Lauderdale. And he said, okay, well, you know, do you and Brooke want to come up? And I'm like, no, it's just me. So he said, oh, well, sorry for what had happened. And he invited me to his place. He said, the thing is, Hannah's here. And if she's okay with you guys, I said, I don't care. We're human. We had sorted a few things out after the reunion. I did apologize to her. I think we all get so wound up in rewatching ourselves that we forget, like, that people can be human, you know.
Right.
So yeah, we had 2 or 3 days, you know, together within a crowd of people, and we got along. So, you know, we set aside our differences, and we thought that no matter whether we're friends or not, let's have the mutual respect to work with each other in a humane way. So yeah.
So watching back this season so far as compared to last season,
yeah,
you like it better?
Of course. I mean, I think, first of all, the elimination of frustration. I was not Bosun, and I felt that there were a lot of things that could have been done better, and I felt that they weren't being heard. You know, that's the biggest thing that I've come into this season with, is to try and explain to everyone, I'm not a boss, I'm a leader. Captain Sandy's the boss. So if there's anything that we can work together with, you know, to progress, fine. If I can't handle it, it goes to Captain Sandy, but I want to be a team player.
Mm.
So I feel that there was that missing last year, and I got frustrated again. And I tell everyone, you know, there's a sense of cabin fever where I've come off a seriously hard charter season. 4 months, I think I spent 2 hours off the vessel. So you kind of you desensitize from people, except the people around you, and everyone's more or less desensitized, tired, fatigued, you know. So going into the season, I was in the wrong headspace entirely. Mm-hmm. This season, yeah, I guess everything works out better for me. And I feel like being responsible for trying to manage people is something I've been born to do, because I've done it, you know, for my previous life anyway.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is there anyone from last season that you're still in contact with that we're not seeing this season?
Yes. So I've been working in Florida for a bit, and I've seen Jamie, and I'd never met Chandler before, but I've seen them a few times out. Lovely people, lovely couple. Again, you know, myself and Jamie weren't the best of friends, but getting to spend some time apart, away from the show, and meeting Chandler. I hadn't watched the previous season. I heard he got a bad rep. You know, meeting him in person, it completely changes how you would feel around people, I guess.
Mm.
I don't know how he worked, but I know how he was in person, and he was great. That's yeah.
Awesome.
Obviously Colin, obviously Sandy, Hannah, we had spoken every now and then. We hadn't, you know, that's it. I'm saying previously. But yeah, I think that's it. Just, yeah, that's no more Casey, no more Brooke, no more Adam. I takes it every now and then, you know, mutual friendship, but yeah.
How long are you in town this time?
I'm leaving tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I came down, obviously my girlfriend lives in New York, so we spend as much time as we can together. It's worked out well so far in terms of getting a break and coming down. It's like almost every second or third weekend that I make a plan to try to come up.
So how long have you been with her? How did you guys meet? Yeah. Tell us the whole thing.
Well, very circumstantially, I met her the day I did the reunion. She basically, a dentist got hold of me to bleach my teeth before the reunion. I accepted, and when I got there, she couldn't do it. My girlfriend now reluctantly took it on because she wanted to leave to do yoga or something. So she was rather upset that I took her time up. She fed me a lot of happy gas, like I could talk anymore. I hadn't spoken to her for, obviously, that I went to the reunion and myself and Brooke had issues that reunion show. I hadn't spoken to her for many months after that, and I'd seen that she was coming up to Fort Lauderdale when I was around. We got together. She said that she wants to go paddleboarding. I'd taken her out, and it was very mutual to start off with. But things grew from there.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of single guys on the boat right now on the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All of us. Who do you think has the most game? If you're going to say, like, between Colin, Travis, Jack?
I think, you know, Jack is a sweet talker. I mean, I've met Liverpool guys, and Jack is a typical Liverpool guy.
Yeah.
You know, I think he'd be happy to charm someone until they maybe were with him for about 2 weeks. Then they might realize that he's just a charmer. But definitely in the yachting industry, he's the charmer. So, yeah.
He did tell a story that's on BravoTV.com about, like, the weirdest thing a charter guest has requested, and it was basically a woman, like, sneak into my cabin at the end of the night. Has that ever happened to you?
Been requested, maybe, but I haven't followed through, no. you know, we do get it. Yachting, you get a lot of funny requests. You know, some of them, and some of them we rather not speak about them because you are dealing with very prestigious, very high end clients. So a lot of it is obviously left quiet. I could imagine that he actually did do that, to be honest, but I don't think he would have lasted much longer on the boat. So
he did say he went through with it.
Yeah, yeah.
She was typical. Left very satisfied.
What, in his eyes or in hers? Because you never know. I'd like to think that he thinks everyone would be satisfied with him while he's wrong. So,
do you see Colin a lot since you're out in New York?
Yes,
New York
absolutely. Yeah. I was with him a couple of days ago. So we did a bit of a meet and greet in Patchogue, his hometown. It was very nice to see his family again. Very nice to meet his friends, his teachers, his pastor.
What? Yeah,
the whole lot came out to see us. So it was really nice, very humbling. You know, I appreciate how many people are actually drawn to the show. And I was very impressed with, there was a long queue of people to say hello, and I was very much obliged to do it. It was fantastic.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And it was so great talking about the season.
Yeah, great. I'm surprised. Like, the last season to this season is very different.
It sure is.
Yeah, yeah. But it's going to get really good. So, yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Eric, what was your rose?
My rose was from Below Deck Med, and it was when Jack and Travis called Hannah and Aisha to the bridge and asked them on a date.
Oh.
Me and Trav wanted to ask you too. Aisha, would you like to go on a date with me?
Oh, this is so weird. I think I want to cry.
Oh, yes.
Go on a date with me.
I thought that was really charming and so cute, and I feel like you don't always see gentlemanly behavior on our shows.
Especially from Jack.
Right, especially from Jack, but he was the one who, like, was the cutest about it.
Yeah.
What was your rose?
My rose was that it was the Queen of Versailles that was the charter guest on Below Deck Med.
Yes.
I love that documentary.
I actually have not seen
it. Oh, Eric, I know. It's so good.
I know. I mean, I was Googling it as I was watching the episode, and I was sort of like, why haven't I seen this?
Oh, it's so good.
All right. It's adding to my Netflix queue. I don't know if it's on Netflix, but...
What is your thorn?
My thorn is from Southern Charm, and we're going to get into it more next week, but it is Whitney denying that he slept with Catherine. And it's sort of like, why? Why is he doing that? It's almost like...
No, that was disgusting.
Right?
I went to coffee with Craig and Austin, and I assume you heard it came out that, like, you and I hooked up this past summer. And they said that, like, you denied it, so I was just curious why.
I don't know. We have a different interpretation of events.
Are you serious? You're lying. I'm just saying it's being talked about. It would be better for you to just be like, yeah, it happened, so what? And leave it at that.
It's almost like reverse slut shaming. Like, I don't really know.
No, 1,000%.
And, like, I don't understand. And especially for him to deny it then to her face is just so disrespectful.
I could not agree more. I was very, very unhappy with that moment.
Well, Queen Catherine has the receipts, and she's bringing them next week. So
I can't wait.
Just sit tight, Whitney. What was your thorn?
You know, I would say just the fact that Lisa Vanderpump wasn't there for the reunion. And I think she did owe it to fans to come and give her side of the story. So, yeah, that's my thorn.
I think that's fair. We all wanted you to be there, Lisa.
Next week, we have a Roni jam-packed episode. We have interviews with Sonia Morgan, Luann de Lesseps, and Tinsley Mortimer. Get ready. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at BravoTV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag BravoDailyDish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye. Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me. Kiss.